Hallelujah. Now, if you have the outline from last week, you can just pull that back out. We're just going to continue through. We'll pick up where we left off. And so we're just going to conclude this law, if the Lord allows. Hallelujah. Amen. And get into the law of wisdom a little bit more further. So we're going to pick it up on the, should be down the bottom or the back page where the law of wisdom, we're going to pick it up at Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 4, Proverbs 4, 4 through 7, reading out of the New King James versions, because we're talking about increase and one essential law of the laws of increase is the law of wisdom. Everybody say the law of wisdom. So it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, he taught me, say, and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom. Underscore, highlight, underline that. Get wisdom and get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all that you're getting, get understanding. Everybody say, get wisdom. So, again, we told the illustration, very simply put, you know, every problematic or big pressure situation has a key issue, has within it the root cause of a key issue that you have to pull the plug or address that key issue. If you have a money problem, key issue. If you have a marriage problem, a key issue. If you have a physical problem, key issue. Family issues, key issue. What's the directive that the Lord is instructing us through the wisdom of the Proverbs here? Get wisdom. Amen? So sometimes we get out ahead with our faith and we want to pray and react. But the Lord said, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Even when we're perhaps even brought to a place where we need to seek God about that situation, we don't seek that situation first. He said wisdom is what? The principal thing. Some people say, well, I'm going to the Lord because we need more money. Well, you're getting out ahead a principle and protocol of Scripture. Principle and protocol of Scripture says get wisdom. Because you don't know the key issue that's impacting or affecting the money. Get wisdom. Again, I'll bear repeating it. Like Mark, and I'm delivered from the law of repetition. So, the fear of repetition, rather. Brother Copeland was having physical pain and discomfort. He said it started in his arms and his muscles to his shoulders, and then all of a sudden his whole body was in pain over a certain period of time. So he at first went to the Lord several times about getting healed. And sometimes we think, well, I'm hurting. I need healing. But the Scripture says, in principle and by protocol, get what? What is the primary thing? Wisdom. Get wisdom. So he's getting out ahead, but he wasn't getting answers. And sometimes we're not getting answers when alarming symptoms or situations arise and occur in our lives. And we're thinking, man, I'm praying about this thing or this issue, but I'm not getting any results. Well, sometimes we're violating the law of wisdom. Because he said wisdom is the principal thing. And so he had to go. He finally told his wife, this is Gloria Copeland, you know, I got to seek God about this, fast and pray. So he's fasting and praying about it. And y'all heard the story before. You know, first day, the Lord was trying to reveal to him coffee. Next day, too much coffee. Yeah, I know coffee. You're telling me coffee, but what? And then finally, the third day, the morning of the third day of his fast and praying, seeking God about this pain and discomfort, he was just writhing in pain in some cases. And his flesh, he said, you're drinking too much coffee, and there's an ingredient in coffee that your body is rebelling against. Well, he didn't know that. But it took wisdom from God to reveal that to him. Amen. See, wisdom manifests, I call it the D's of wisdom, the positive D's, which is discretion. Because if you read chapter 2 of Proverbs, it talks about discretion. Well, what do you need discretion? You need discretion when you're around people who don't know God and don't trust or operate in the things of God. Some of us give away all of our cookies and candy to people that squander them. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? Don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't give that which is holy to dogs. He was talking about the character and category of people. He wasn't calling them pigs, come on now, or dogs, but he was talking about the character and nature in which they operate in. Dogs don't trust God. Dogs don't follow God. Anybody have a dog have a mind of his own? You almost have to beat him to move. Well, a dog is not yielded to the Holy Spirit. But if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, don't be trying to relate and have discretion and say, well, they ain't going to understand this. Particularly if you're in the family context, you're talking to your unsaved kids or unsaved loved ones. They not going to understand you praying in the Spirit and going to church, so have discretion. So wisdom gives you discretion. Wisdom also gives you discernment, the second D. In other words, you discern the right people to run around with and the wrong people to avoid hanging out with. If you read the book of Proverbs, which I highly recommend, and we'll probably do that before the end of the year or the beginning of the year together, but it tells you in the first parts of the chapter about discernment. You got to discern evil people. That means people that have gone away from God's intended purpose for their lives. And you got to have discernment to hang around the right people. Wisdom helps you with relationships. It discerns who needs to be in the category of a friend. Amen. Wisdom gives you direction. Wisdom gives you discretion. Wisdom gives you discernment. But wisdom also provides you direction. Which way do I go? Which steps do I take? What moves do I make? Those are wisdom inquiries. Just like when David was at Ziklag and they took all the stuff. And then everybody talked about stoning him and killing him, and he had to encourage himself in the Lord. But what he said, he put on an ephod and began to inquire of the Lord, shall we pursue? And if we pursue, will we overtake and recover all? And God responded to him. He was giving him direction. He said, pursue, and surely you will overtake, and you will, without fail, recover all. Somebody say glory to God. So wisdom gives you discretion, gives you discernment. Everybody needs to operate in discernment. Now, I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion where you're suspicious of people. But when you're around people, you need to be looking to the Lord inside to give you a signal. And a sensing, a spiritual sensing. I need to be running around with this person? Or not. And you need to have the direction. Well, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 3, toward the latter part of that verse, I believe chapter 26, he said, turn ye at my reproof, talking about wisdom's reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. Well, we often says sometimes correction proceeds direction. So if you don't yield or are unopened to that correction, you'll never receive the direction. See, you get direction. Correction is good in this context because it yields direction, protection, and perfection. You got to have directions. Some people just get up every day without having directions to what to do with their time, what to do with their day, what priorities to make. You need direction. And then there are details that wisdom gives you. He said, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So you got discernment, you got discretion, you got discernment, you got direction, and you got details. That means the when, where, what, how, and even the why of the matter. I need details. Wisdom gives you detailed instructions. Amen? When you seek wisdom. Because when we're going back to the story about Brother Copeland, he said, okay, well, how do I get rid of the coffee? Because if the coffee is bad, I need to get, he said, do you know where I am? I'm at. I am a coffee addict. In other words, I drink 8 to 10 cups a day, and I walk out every morning with 2 hot thermoses, coffee thermoses filled with coffee under my arms and a cup or 2 in my hand. He was a coffee person. He said, but I heard people getting off coffee have it hard because they go through withdrawals and have these headaches and things like that. So he asked, how do I do it? And the Lord gave him detailed instructions on how to do what to do with all his coffee mix and his coffee pots and his brewers and all that stuff. Put it out there. Come on now. Everybody here with me this morning? Yes. And then he told him how to lay his hands on it and what to say over it. And he was completely free of coffee. And now when he got off the coffee, the pain left. Amen. Seek wisdom. Get wisdom. Amen. And so the last D is divine timing. Not your timing. Divine timing. That means God controls the clock. Amen. And God owns the calendar of your life. Amen. Don't look at the clock. Let God tell you what time it is. We learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap. Some people look at the clock and say, well, it's been too long. I need that new iPhone. Well, he said it's not time to get it yet. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he makes all things beautiful when? In his time. Sometimes people make decisions about jobs in their own time because they got their control of the clock and control of their calendar. I'm about ready to leave this job. No. It's not time. You got to stay here. Sometimes we quit too early or we get in a job too soon. He makes all things beautiful when? In its time. You think about an orange. An orange is fully ripe and ready. It's full of vitamins and good nutrients, vitamin C. But before it's ripe and ready, it's what? It's acidic. It's poisonous. I've been in church for years, over three decades. Amen. Been in ministry 15, 16 plus years. And over these years, you see people, they don't finish well. Right, because they're on their own clock and their own time. and not on his time. But wisdom gives you the win. When to do this, when to do that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So wisdom is the ultimate in creating, building a house, home, family, marriage, church, ministry, business. Wisdom is the infinite as God himself. As we increase in it, it will increase in us and increases the good and godly things pertaining to us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, socially, and financially. Now, we said there's three kinds of wisdom we find in Scripture. Number one, wisdom for the day. Everybody say wisdom for the day. So you need wisdom every day. So we commissioned and we said to everyone that everybody should be praying for wisdom every day. Why? Because every day has direction, duties, details, and potential dilemmas that we may have to face. And each day is unique, and every day's circumstances and events are unique. There's no other day. It's a new day. God wants to give us wisdom to match each day. So in other words, you walk out into your day with divine smarts, with sound heavenly sense. Amen? Stop thinking you're a legend in your own mind. And your organization and planning is superior to God's. He owns the schedule, and he should own the clock. And he should get, he reserves the right, because he's Lord, to tell us what to do. Sometimes we go to prayer and tell God what we have to do. Well, you're putting the cart before the horse. Amen? Prayer is proof that should be proof that you trust God and you trust his plans and purposes. He said, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, with all what? Your heart, and lean not to what? Your own understanding. There it is right there. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In other words, you include the Lord. You don't exclude the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do, and how to do it, and then following up and doing it. It is the ability to live life skillfully. Wisdom is the combination of knowledge, understanding, and action. It produces a strategy, and a strategy produces success and increase. Praise God. So it reminds me of time when I didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. We had a $15,000 IRS bill due in California, from California, and then a $3,000 franchise state tax board, they call it in California. Man, and then California's pretty aggressive. You know, they come and get the check. You know. Okay, what do we do, Lord? Well, when you don't want the new, what's the thing to do? Get wisdom. And so you don't get wisdom in pride. You got to humble yourself and pray. Amen? So I dropped to my knees and side of my bed and said, you know, Lord, what? You know, this is coming up. You see this letter. I got the letter in my hand. They're coming to take money. IRS is breathing down their back and breathing down my back here. So within 10 minutes, everybody say within 10 minutes, I received wisdom. It was direction and details. Within a half an hour, we had an appointment made with a certain tax professional. They went back 3 years, reassessed our tax, and said, "Well, you don't owe them; they owe you." Because he told me to take the taxes to this person, and then we took it back to the person, and within 3 years, we recovered all of the IRS stuff and over half of the state tax stuff. Praise God. Amen. And then within 30 days, we paid the rest of the tax stuff off. Praise God. Amen. When you don't know what to do, you need to get what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. So it produces a strategy. In other words, you don't seek and ask for wisdom and don't be sit there passively and wait for God to do everything. He's going to give you details, direction. He's going to give you divine timing. He's going to give you discretion, or he's going to give you discernment in what to do. Is everybody here with me? Yes. Wisdom comes from the word. We talked about that last week. And wisdom comes from in prayer. Now let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 2. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to skip ahead here. James chapter 1, verse 2. What did he say? Count it all what?
Joy.
Did he say if or when?
When.
When. So some people think faith is means I'm going to avoid all problems and pain and pressure. Nope. Because you're in faith, you might want to look out and stand and watch that is coming. Hallelujah. Well, see, the devil uses these things to make us bitter. But God uses these things to make us better. Now, he says, count it all what? Joy. James 1, 2 through 5. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, I don't know what to do. Now I'm going to keep reading down to verse 8, guys. Let him ask God, and then he adds a parenthetical expression, who gives that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, if you've been, let's just use the expression that I heard on, you know, anybody seen that Night at a Museum with Ben Stiller? Or that big statue, call him Dum Dum. Let me have some gum gum. So if you've been dum dum and you need gum gum, if you've been dumb or been silly or somewhat foolish with certain area for a while, he said God's not going to hold back on you just because the last 10 times you've made mistakes or messed things up. That's enough to shout over. He said he'll give to all men what? Liberally and upbraideth not. So he's not going to count up your mistakes and your messes. He's going to say, I'm going to give you when you ask me for wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
And it shall be what? So you should expect to receive it. But he said, let him ask how? In faith. Nothing wavering. But for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossing. For let not that man or woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. When you're wavering, when you're doubting, vacillating back and forth, when you're thinking, well, God can't figure this out. See, worry is like a divided mind. Divided between legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. And when you start to think, I wonder how God's going to do this. I wonder how this I'm going to get out of this mess. I wonder how, no, you're in the wrong side. You're on the dark side. You're on the destructive side. You're wavering. You need to be thinking, Lord, I thank you for the abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom that you're giving me right now concerning this matter. Now, you don't feel it first. You can't feel or see it, but you will receive it in your spirit. And it will illuminate your mind, heart and mind. Praise God. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his what? Ways. So he said count it all joy. In other words, why do we count it joy? Because that's wisdom's protocol. That's wisdom's protocol when you fall into what the Bible says, divers temptations. That's a Greek word that just means affliction. It is affliction or the experience, the long definition, of adversity. Amen? The experience of adversity that comes to put pressure on your belief system, the trying of your faith. When you know that problem is coming up on the horizon, you should start rejoicing. Why? In what? This is another opportunity for God, give God the glory. Another opportunity for God to work his favor and his goodness on my behalf. Another opportunity to prove God's word is true in my life. Come on now. You begin to shout the victory before the outcome comes at the onset of that problem coming into your life. Praise God. That means you, Smith Wigglesworth said it this way, faith laughs at impossibilities. The Bible says in Job chapter 5, at destruction and in famine laugh. But you don't see people laugh. You see people languishing, crying and moaning. Now, the basic premise is this. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So that should be the order of our faith in action. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to be glad. Now, doubt, like he says, a man wavering, doubt worries, complains, and is sad. So when you start worrying, you're not in faith. You're in fear. When you start complaining and you walk around sad, mad, and swell up like a toad frog because you want everybody to join your pity party, that's doubt. That's fear-based behavior. And he said, you won't receive anything from God when you're in that status or in that state of mind. A double-minded person is unstable. Don't think that you receive anything from the Lord. So God will let you still be silly, dumb, chewing gum. Amen. Or acting foolishly. Why? Because God can't do two things for you and me. He can't receive for you and me. He's waiting to give you an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom. But he can't receive it for you. You have to receive it. How do you receive this wisdom? He said, count it all joy. Amen. 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 So rejoicing is just a simple term that means rekindle the joy, stir up the joy, restore your joy level. That means get your joy level up. You can't have your joy level on defrost. Because some of us are trying to cook popcorn on defrost. You got to turn it up on high to cook it for those 3 minutes or whatever the packet says. Come on now. It won't pop. Your faith won't pop if you're on defrost. Amen. So because faith rejoices. Faith laughs at impossibilities. Amen. Brother Hagin said that when he was in back in the, I believe it was 50s or 60s, he was in East Texas in a ministry conference, and not a ministry conference, but at a church, and he was at the parsonage in the house with them, standing in another room, empty room, with the pastor and his wife, and he said after ministering one service, he was in a meeting, and his family was back home in Garland, Texas area, and so he's over in East Texas ministering at a meeting, and he said all the symptoms that he had when he had the deformed heart and 3 incurable blood diseases and the partial paralysis, he said the heart situations came upon him. He said he had some alarming heart symptoms come upon him. Well, what do you do? Well, you got to rejoice. Now, at the time, he didn't know what to do, but it came up into his heart because he's down there in the bed. He's getting ready to lay down, and he says heart's beating out of his chest, and it's beating irregularly. And he said all he heard in his spirit to do was to laugh. So he pulled the sheets up over his head. He said, I didn't feel like laughing. And he said, oh no, I felt like let's call the ambulance. Thinking I'm having a heart attack here. My heart's beating out of my chest. But he pulled the sheets up over his head and began to laugh. He said, I didn't feel like it. But some of you know you got to do it by faith, even though you don't feel like it. And so he just began to say it just this way. He said his mouth was cotton dry, and he was trying to catch his breath, but he just under his breath, ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. He said a little bit went by, time went by. He said but maybe about 5-10 minutes, and the devil said, what are you laughing at? The devil will try your faith or test your faith. He'll try to come up there and make you doubt. He said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. He said, what are you laughing at me for? Now, he said he didn't hear an audible voice, but he said inside of him. He heard in his head and thought the devil brought a thought. He said, the devil can't enter anywhere but your mind. So he brought him a thought and said, What are you laughing? He said, well, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. He said, because you said I'm not going to get my healing this time. He said, that's right. You're not going to get your healing this time. And he said, ha, ha, ha. And he began to laugh, ha, 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 ha. He said, did I feel like it? No. Sometimes the anointing can come on you and you laugh. But you know what the Bible says, a merry heart does good like a what? Like a medicine. Amen. And, of course, you know, he began to laugh again. He said, 10 minutes later, the devil came back. What you laughing at? And said the same thing. I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. He said, what are you laughing at me for? He said, yeah, that's right. You're not going to get your healing this time. 10 minutes later, he came back again. He's still laughing. Ha, 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 ha. 45 minutes. Now, what a strategy. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. I like what Andrew Murray said. Joy is the serious business of heaven. So that means God doesn't do anything unless there's joy there. Amen? Somebody said glory to God. And so he said 45 minutes, and the devil was trying to mess with him. He said, Mr. Devil, let me tell you something. He pulled the sheets back. And he sat up in the bed, cut the light on, and he took 1 Peter 2:24 out and read it out loud in the face of the devil. By his stripes you were. He said, look, see, I'm laughing because you say I'm not going to get my healing. I'm not trying to get my healing. He said, Jesus already got my healing for me 2,000 years ago. I believe I received my healing. I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it for me. He said, ha, 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 Mr. Devil. And he began to laugh and shout and run around the room. And he said, all the symptoms completely disappear. Somebody said, glory to God. I remember when one of the missionary friends, we real good friends, y'all know him, the Garcias, Jerry and Ernestine, they're down in, I believe it's Tampico, Mexico. And so they've been down there for 30 years, and they came here. We believe we're going to try to get them here next year. But good ministers of God. But she had a good friend of hers who was in a hospital in Mexico, and, you know, they had her in the ICU ward, kind of way off quarantine somewhere because they gave her an incurable disease and diagnosis. And she said, you know, sometimes those hospitals down there is not necessarily good. And so they basically put her out to die. So we're not going to touch you, just let you be on a breathing machine until you expire. She says, that's my best friend, though. She said, I got to go see her. So she went back there and saw her. But she didn't know what to do. But what do you do when you don't know what to do? Everybody said, get wisdom. And so she's down there listening to the Lord. Inside, that's where wisdom will come, and gave her direction. And so she says her friends are sitting there with a mask all over her face. She's breathing, barely breathing. She said, "You remember what Brother Hagin taught us in that meeting at Winter Bible Seminar when he was attacked, and what sometimes he just laughed, just rose up on the inside, just began to laugh, ha ha ha." And she said, we begin to laugh. She said, let's just, I'm going to lead you in a laugh. Now, she's critically ill, almost comatose, laying on her back on a breathing machine, giving up to die. She got down near her ear and said, just say it with me, ha, ha, ho, ho, hee, hee. Real simple. It seems silly, right? But you get wisdom. So this is the strategy that God gave to them. And, of course, you know, we said before, your body can't tell if it's a fake laugh or a real laugh. Amen. And we don't just say fake laugh, faith laugh. Sometimes you have to laugh in faith. It's part of your rejoicing. And so she got down there next to her, and the girl that was on the machine, she's like this. She 30 minutes later, She's got the mask off. She's sitting up in the bed. All the symptoms and situations are starting to dissipate or disappear, so she's laughing at the top of her lungs, sitting on the side of the bed. She gets up and walks around the hospital and then checks out the hospital because, like, look, all the sickness, all the disease, all the pain and stuff is gone because she did what wisdom directed her to do. Somebody say glory to God. There's always answers that God wants to give you and me. It's always solutions and remedies that God has for all of our life's most bugging questions. You need wisdom for the day. All right? The next two is wisdom to live by. Wisdom to live by. Proverbs 4:6 says, don't forsake her and she will preserve you. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, so be careful how you live. Don't be like those who with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we're living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So in other words, life is a great teacher, but the tuition is amazingly high. See, we are to live by a wisdom-driven life. We are to live a wisdom-driven life every day and in every way to generate and create the maximum increase and impact for God in his wisdom. So in other words, when you think about decisions that you have to make, come on now, moves you have to take, you got to think of what is not only the right thing to do. Because some people do things right, but at the wrong time. But wisdom tells you what is the wise thing to do here. So sometimes people think the right thing to do is to talk back and to get back at them and have a discussion over a time bomb, ticking time bomb at the house. No, what is the wise thing to do? Just because you're the big boss with the hot sauce and you wear the title of mom, grandma, or great-grandma, you get a right to say everything you want? No, it could be expensive. It could cost you relationships. You want that relationship to increase and have a positive impact in and for the kingdom of God. But you walk in there with the bull and the hired child, and you have a right to say what you want because that's freedom of speech, right? But you might not have the right words or the right time. See, wisdom brings peace, perspective, at new opportunities. Wisdom can be applied to every realm of our lives. Wisdom is not only to be received for ourselves, but also to be shared with others. In other words, your kids and your grandkids need to see you walk wisely and live in wisdom. Then third, wisdom in the marketplace. Proverbs 1:20-21 says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses and at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Now, this is an entirely different facet of wisdom we all need to come to our job and business endeavors with. Everybody in this room is a business person. You have business. Even if it's just family business. I'm talking about not a owned family business per se, like a franchise, something like that. I'm talking about everybody's business is your primary economic unit. So everybody in here has business capabilities and capacities by God. Amen? That's your job. That's your first field of ministry. Amen? Some of us go to an employer, and that's our employment. And so these two verses that we just read mention some specific things: the square, the concourse, and the gates. Everybody say it with me: the square, the concourses, and the gates. And we're almost finished, so Just hang in there with me. Those who are, these are each important, and when we realize and put it into a historical context. So the city square is where the marketplace where daily business was handled. The concourse is where people interacted and went about their day and life and went along their ways. The city gates is where the elders, you'd find the elders of the city and where the legal disagreements would be resolved. So our Father God wants us to have wisdom in all three areas of our professional life. Amen. And this is an area where we need great increase in our community and in our city. Where people of God rising up with marketplace wisdom. I'm talking about people that are in the entertainment and arts industries, in the government and politics industry, in the educational industries, in the healthcare industries, and in the other industries of life, you know, of the world, you know, educational, real estate, banking, and business industries, rise up with marketplace wisdom and bring solutions and answers from heaven into those environments. And one note to leave you with is wisdom leads us to our purpose. Now, we read the scripture before, or quoted it, but let's read it again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways. Now, you got ways all the time. Now, we always say you never should come to a church service which you hadn't prayed for. Because that's in all your ways. That's part of all your ways. You should never go on a family outing or have family functions without acknowledging the Lord. And all your, that's all your ways. Amen. So anything big, small, and everything in between should be acknowledged through the Lord, because he will direct your what? Paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So some people go to parties, go to places, go hang out with people, and they don't ask the Lord about it. Because wisdom leads you to your purpose. See, a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. Why can't you just do anything and everything you want? Because you got a calling on your life. You just don't have a career, what you're paid for. You have a calling that you're made for. Everybody in this room is called by God. And we see Jesus in Luke, I'm not going to read it, Luke 2, 40 and 52, he increased and grew in wisdom. We should be grow and increase in wisdom as well. And those whose lives are guided by wisdom as one of their top goals, which should be ours, discern their purpose and enthusiastically pursue it. What's your purpose? Why are you here on earth? Some people even ask that question, even as teenagers. Why was I born? Why was I born in this family? For what reason do I exist? Well, everybody needs to understand that question and the answer to that question for themselves personally. But wisdom helps you find and fulfill your purpose. Amen. So we must be aware of our true purpose and produce success and increase in our lives. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, therefore, I, prisoner, Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called. So he's not talking to just preachers. He's talking to people in the church. The vocation wherewith you're called. So what's the vocation that you've been called to? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, love, enduring to keep the unity of spirit and bond of peace, so forth and so on. The word vocation comes from the word vocare, which means to call, or a vocation as a state of calling, not just a career choice. Understanding purpose enables us to step into that calling which we were made for. Amen. Why did God make you a new creation in Christ? For what purpose? See, when we pursue his purpose and abide in his calling he has for us, we are fulfilled and flourish with increase and impact. Now, here's the thing. when people don't know what they want, the problem is insufficient knowledge. And you see it now today. People jump from job to job to job to job to job. Why? Trying to find their purpose. What do you do when you don't know? Well, you pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. That God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling. Amen. The riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of your power, of his power to us who believe. When people don't want to pursue what they want, the problem is motivation. That means they know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't pursue it. Why don't people pursue the purpose of God for their lives? Because they lack motivation. When I was in the Army, working with the U.S. Army Rangers, at Ranger School, the only way they put you out was LOM, lack of motivation. You didn't finish because of LOM. Same thing in the King. You don't get in your purpose because of LOM. How do you get motivated? Well, Colossians 1 tells you that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you, Father God, our Father God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with what? Joyfulness. Those three things. You need patience, you need long-suffering, you need joy. You need patience with people who may try to demotivate you. Because there's always going to be enough people wagging their tongues to try to discourage and put out your fire. Then you need long-suffering to deal with the problems that try to discourage you. You need joy to deal with the pressures that try to diffuse your strength and stamina. Everybody say, ha, ha, ha. See, when people don't achieve what they want, it's often the problem of persistence. Consistency is the key, friends. That's why you have to stay committed so you can stay consistent. That means you don't make a choice to stay home or to come late or to skip out on the things that's going to keep you going and growing. Woo-wee. You got to be persistent. See, all these three issues can be developed when you discover your gift, God's grace. God's made each and every one of you uniquely you. Amen. See, we can't do everything, but we can do everything God intends for us to do. Everything that is related to our purpose. And I'll close with this, with Paul saying it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Now, I want you to notice three significant things Paul is. He said the person of Paul, the position of Paul, and the performance of Paul. See, wisdom helps you discern and define that your identity is not wrapped up in what you do. But my primary purpose is wrapped up, tied up in who you are. Now, most people rearrange the order of the person, the performance. So when my performance is bad, let's just say just in a natural context, you know, you're having rough times or rocky times in the marriage or family trouble on the scene of your life. And you're having trouble. And so people get down and get discouraged because I got family drama. I got family dilemmas. I got marital distress. I got financial difficulties on the landscape of my life. And so they begin to look at their performance as who they are. My job, they put me on an action plan. They put me on a performance improvement plan. They put me on they wrote me up because I'm underperforming, and they figure that's who I am. No, that's not who you are. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Hallelujah. You can be all that God has called you to be. Come on now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the enemy always tries to come and get you to identify with other things. You got the position of what? Domestically, father, grandfather, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, so forth. And you feel like, well, I'm failing at that. Well, then you begin, the devil begins to mess with you and take you out of your purpose. And then once you chase wrong purposes, you end up chasing fulfillment decoys, because purpose is tied to fulfillment. And so when you chase fulfillment decoys, you start doing other things way outside of the will and work of God for your life, because you're thinking, well, if I do this, then I'll be happy and fulfilled. If I participate and experience this, I'll be happy and fulfilled. So people get a new car, and they think that's going to make them happy. New house, they're going to be happy. New relationship, think they're going to be happy. New member of the family, they think that's going to make them happy. And they end up squandering and losing out on their purpose. Amen? This is a really big deal, friends. Amen? Because, see, God didn't create us to be purposed to just get all we can and can all we get and sit on our can. You're an important, integral part of his kingdom and of his family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand and just thank God for that. Wisdom will give you those.